It's Yankee Yarn Time. Time to hear another story of New England, presented by Alden Hall Blackington and brought to you by the friendly First National Stores, New England's largest retailer of fine foods.
Good evening. Tonight, I am going to take you behind the scenes, so to speak, of Denman Thompson's grand old play, The Old Homestead, now being presented each year by the Swansea, New Hampshire Players. Last winter, I wrote Mrs. Harold Adams, who handles the publicity, and asked her to send me a notice of the dress rehearsal. So bright and early on Sunday, July the 7th, we got up and drove up to Swansea. It's almost 100 miles. Before we went, we rounded up all the books and newspaper clippings we could find on Denman Thompson, because I thought you folks ought to know something about his early life and what an astounding success his old tearjerker proved to be. First, let's begin with Denman. He was born in a drafty log cabin out in Girard, Pennsylvania in October 1833. His father and grandfather had left Swansea, New Hampshire to pioneer in the Middle West. They didn't like it much, and when Denman was 14, they all moved back to Swansea. And Denman got his schooling right there in Mount Caesar Seminary. He did fairly well in his studies until a circus arrived in town, and that changed his whole life. Right after his 17th birthday, he packed his trunk and set forth for the far-off city of Boston. All the neighbors came in that night to console his parents and say family prayers for the country boy who had gone to join the circus in the wicked city of Boston. Now, the only circus in the hub at that time was a small menagerie and animal show, but Denman joined it and got the exciting job of going ahead of the show to put up the posters. He soon quit that, returned to Boston, and decided to be an actor. The great Charlotte Cushman was playing Lady Macbeth at the Athenaeum, the old Howard to you, so Denman went down to Scarley Square. Could they use an extra? Oh, yes, they had a small part for a smart boy in the mob scene. So young Mr. Thompson told the truth when he wrote his friends in Swansea, "I am playing with Charlotte Cushman in the Howard Athenaeum." Learning that New York offered more opportunities than Boston, Denman went to the metropolis and found on Lower Broadway two elegantly dressed gentlemen calling the public's attention in a lackadaisical manner to a series of oil paintings in a nearby tent. The paintings were of famous Indian chiefs by George Catlin, and although the price of admission was only 10 cents, only a few of the passers-by seemed interested. Here was a golden opportunity. Young Denman Thompson made the most of it. He hurried to the public library, read up all about Indian chiefs, and then, to the amazement of the proprietors, stood on the sidewalk and gave such an irresistible spiel, the tent filled up in 10 minutes. A few days later, a theatrical agent, noting his clean-cut country complexion, good voice, and manners, offered him a leading role in a play he was producing. It was called The French Spy, and it opened in the Lowell Museum. Half of Swansea drove down to Lowell to see that Thompson boy in a real melodrama. Shortly after this, Denman joined a theatrical troupe bound for Toronto, and he stayed in Canada several years. He specialized in Irish and Negro characters, sang between the acts, danced the hornpipe and the Highland Fling. He married and three children were born, all in Toronto. Then, when he was still only 28, an opportunity came to play in the famed Drury Lane Theatre in London. In England, Thompson made a discovery. It seems that up to that time, every time a Yankee farmer was depicted on the English stage, he was always shown as a skinny, wizened-up, cantankerous old cuss with chin whiskers and a concob pipe. He was invariably meaner than dirt and tighter than bark to a tree. Denman Thompson felt this was unfair to the good Yankee farmers he'd known back in New Hampshire, and overnight he wrote a little one-act play that took London by storm. His Yankee farmer was a hick, all right, but he was a jolly, well-fed, smooth-faced fella, frightened by the tall buildings and fire engines, but good as gold, and the very essence of respectability and kindliness. Londoners laughed and cried and liked Denman Thompson, and he liked them. But the wet, foggy winter weather was too much for him, and he came home a very sick man. Laid up for weeks with rheumatism, Denman Thompson tried to forget his aches and pains by mentally creating different characters that he would like to portray on the stage. He'd close his eyes and visualize his neighbors up in Swansea with their dry humor, petty pranks, and quaint sayings. From each one, he took a little something, and suddenly they all melted into one composite character, a kindly, lovable old farmer destined to make Denman Thompson rich and famous forever. Now, when it came to a name for this character, Thompson had only to think of two of Swansea's citizens, Captain Joshua Holbrook and Captain Otis Whitcomb. He took the Joshua from Captain Holbrook and the Whitcomb from Captain Otis, and he had Joshua Whitcomb, a perfect name for a Yankee farmer. He liked the character so well, he played it for 15,000 evening performances and matinees. His first little play had just two acts, and it was called Josh Whitcomb, but in 5 years it grossed $400,000. In 1885, Thompson enlarged the cast, added a third act, hired a male quartet, and opened in Boston with his new Old Homestead. From the first overture, it was a smashing success. In spite of the thin plot and homely philosophy, it packed him in night after night, all over the country. In blasé New York, 300,000 city slickers paid top prices to see old Uncle Josh, Cy Prime, Rickety Ann, and Aunt Matilda. When the male quartet sang, "Where is my wandering boy tonight?" the ushers had to mop up the aisles. Folks cried so. It's a fact. So many people moaned and wept, Thompson had to cut out that quartet number. But it's back in the Swansea production, and I heard it in the Potash Bowl a few weeks ago. I haven't heard such a fine double male quartet in years. I heard one man say up there, "I've come 500 miles, and I would have come 1,000 just to see Cy Prime and Seth Perkins bust the broom in the last act." 5 million other Americans have felt the same way, because until Abe's Irish Rose came along, the Old Homestead broke all records. Of all the companies that took it on the road, not one ever lost money. In Swansea this year, every ticket was sold in advance, and many folks have already reserved their seats for the next season. Now, I want to tell you just a bit about Captain Otis Whitcomb and the original Old Homestead where he lived. The house is still standing on Swansea's main street. Mr. and Mrs. Cecil Whitcomb lived there, and their daughter, Myrtle Whitcomb Dunham, took us through it. Grandpa Whitcomb was a remarkable man, she said. He had 19 children, and he promised his wife a new silk dress if the 20th one came along. There were so many children in his house, Grandpa Whitcomb used to pick up their shoes each night in a bushel basket. If the basket was full of shoes, he knew all the kids were in the house, and he could go to bed. She showed us a fine picture of old Mr. Whitcomb, taken with Denman Thompson on the stage of the Boston Theater. Across the picture was written, "The man I'm indebted to for my Joshua Whitcomb," signed Denman Thompson. When the Old Homestead opened in Boston, Mr. Thompson invited Captain Whitcomb to come down from Swansea and see it. He put the old fellow in a private box in the Boston Theater, and he was so gosh darned excited when he saw the oxen coming on the stage with a load of hay. He rears right up and hollered, "You're all right, Denman, only you've got the nigh ox on the off side." It brought down the house. We also drove out to see the Joshua Holbrook farm, because there, Joyce Kilmer was inspired to write his poem, Trees. Then we drove to West Swansea through the old red-covered bridge to see the Denman Thompson Mansion, the magnificent estate where Thompson lived after he retired from the stage. Today it's the Pythian home, and aside from needing a coat of paint, it looks just the same as when Uncle Josh lived there. The same big stone dog guards the lawn and the children's playhouse and the big stables. If you go up there, the attendant will be glad to show you around. If the children are with you, be sure they see the dollhouse, built for Thompson's grand niece. It has a little tiny stove and table, chairs and bed, but I'm sorry to say that many of the things have been stolen by the most despisable of all American pests, the souvenir hunter. The main house extending to the barn is 150 feet long and has 28 rooms. In the dining room, we saw in front of an elaborately carved golden oak sideboard one of Denman's favorite chairs. The tag on it says it cost $950. His music cabinet, containing many original scores, is there. And so is a framed dollar bill in the theater stub and program of the first performance of the Old Homestead. And opposite that is a large painting of Queen Victoria, said to have been presented to Thompson after a command performance before the King and Queen of England. In the front room, we saw a collection of Victorian gilded furniture, inlaid marble tables, vases, bisque figures, and oil paintings. All the family portraits are on the second floor, along with pictures of all the local folks who made up the first Old Homestead cast, and a series of pictures labeled the first photographs to be taken on the stage with electric lights. They're very interesting. Down in the stable, we found more pictures, posters, and programs, and a bust of Uncle Josh wearing his beaming spectacles. The names of Denman's favorite horses are still tacked up on the stalls. We asked the attendant, "Where's that big iron stag that used to stand out here on the lawn?" "Oh," we said, "he's up on the Mohawk Trail now. We sold him to the Elks." Now, many of the dishes and the pieces of furniture are moved from this mansion each summer to the Potash Bowl in order that the stage settings may be complete and genuine. It's a whale of a job to cart all this stuff back and forth, but the Swansea folks do it gladly, first because they want to keep the Old Homestead alive, and second because all the money taken in from that play goes to charity. The natural setting of the Potash Bowl, so named because potash used to be made there from wood ashes, couldn't be more appropriate. On a sloping hill facing the stage, 1,000 seats have been built, and there's room for 600 more folks on the grass under the trees. This natural out-of-doors auditorium is completely enclosed by tall, thick pine trees that grow to the very ends of the 50-foot stage. It's just like a great giant green horseshoe. As a tribute to Joyce Kilmer, these pine trees are spotlighted between the acts by 6 million candle power searchlights that outline the pines against the night sky with a rainbow of color. And at the same time, the amplified organ plays trees. It's a spectacle you'll never forget. At the rehearsal, we saw Larry Pickett and Harold Adams and Leon Haskins attending to the 1,001 details of amplification, lighting, stage settings, and so forth. And Mrs. W.L. Cummins gave us just a little idea of what it means to scour the countryside for the hundreds of properties used in the production of the Old Homestead. The organ comes from the meeting house, the chairs from the library, books, candles, lamps, dishes, tongs, shotgun, and tin dipper, linen, pictures, and geraniums come from various farmhouses in the village. Most of the furniture and the heavy pieces come from the Frank Handy Farm and the Denman Thompson Estate. Not a single detail is omitted. You'll find the old well, the chopping block, grandfather's clock by the fireplace, the strings of dried apple, old farmer's almanac, kerosene lamp, church chimes, and last but not least, the nude statue of Venus that caused Uncle Josh to exclaim, "Say, was she a New York lady before she died?" In the third act, when Uncle Josh is in New York hunting for his wayward son, there used to be a mechanical moon shining behind the spire of Grace Church. Swansea has eclipsed all previous production in this scene, because just when the stage moon is supposed to appear, the real, honest-to-goodness, golden full moon comes right up over the tops of the trees. Wouldn't that please Denman Thompson? Wouldn't he be tickled if he could see all those people sitting out there under the stars, laughing and crying at his grand old play? And all those neighbors who put off haying and preserving and all that other work to take part in the Old Homestead. I wish I could mention every one of the 40 or 50 people that have something to do with this production, but of course I can't. Harold Drew of Keene directs the play. Willard Thompson gives a grand performance as Uncle Josh. And as I said, every cent of the proceeds goes to the churches of Swansea. You know, folks, things like that don't happen very often these days. Swansea, New Hampshire should be very proud of itself and its grand revival of Denman Thompson's Old Homestead.